Welcome to Voice Notes with my friends. This is a completely separate segment of the podcast. It is still me, Alma Limon. Hey, what's up? But I don't talk about books. Not today. I talk about my friends. And not only I talk about my friends, but I get to talk to my friends, which is great. And I'm sure you are all going to love them as much as I do, because I do have the coolest friends. And I'm not just saying that. I genuinely believe so. And I think it's because I've been in really cool places. And in one of those really, really cool places is where I met my good friend Drew. And I love Drew so much. So we met in Florence. I was studying there. As you, most of you know, I lived in Florence for 3 years or so. So I was living there. I got an internship. And Drew was my partner. Drew was my other half in that project, and we were working together for, I think it was around a month, if I'm not mistaken. We were taking care of young adults, of teenagers, I guess. I guess they were teenagers. They were 15 to 19, and they were Americans that were to study for the summer in Florence. So we had the task to take them to class and to just organize different activities for them and to help them with their homework if they need it and so on. So I learned so much from Drew just in that experience, and I have learned so much from him ever since I met him. I am so grateful to him for allowing me to still be his friend after all this time and after the distance and in spite of the distance. And I think we're just as good friends as we were before now, which is great. So Drew is someone that I've been looking up to ever since I met him. He has this sense of adventure that I think I share, but I think he wins. He's always looking for the next big adventure. He's living in every part of the world he can think of. He's meeting crazy, amazing people and going to amazing places. And he just knows how to talk to anyone and everyone. And that's a thing that I love about him. And another thing that I love about him, and I think that is what you will notice the most in this entire conversation, is that he is super well-spoken, obviously, and he's super mature and intelligent, like emotionally intelligent. That's the word I'm looking for. He always knows how to handle himself, and that is something I think we can all learn a little bit from. You know, I've said it before and I will say it again. I think you don't really know who someone is until you see them react to when things don't turn out the way they want. And I think that every time I've seen Drew in that situation, he just knows how to manage himself perfectly without hurting anybody else and just being at the same time extremely genuine and transparent with himself. So that is why I decided and he agreed to talk about relationships, because I think that most of the time when we don't know how to react or we do crazy things, at least for me, is when we get our hearts broken or when things don't go, again, the way we want them to go. And that happens a lot in relationships. So we were talking on the phone the other day about this, and I was like, I thought to myself, oh my God, I really want you to be on my podcast, but I didn't say it then because we were having a moment, I guess. So I asked him days later and he said yes. So thank you, Drew, for being so open and so transparent and talk about your relationships with like whoever wants to listen. I am sure everyone will love the episode as much as I do. And yeah, I will just leave you to it.
Hi, little Limons. My name is Drew Garnes, and I'm from the United States in the Midwest, the state of Indiana. And I've been traveling the world for a couple years now after I finished my education, which is how I got to meet my good friend Alma and how I get to hang out with you all today.
Yeah. Do you want to tell them how we met?
Yeah, I'd love to tell them. A couple years back, I took an internship at the Florence University of the Arts. I'd never
been to
Italy.
Was it 3 years ago?
It was 3 years ago. Yeah, it was 3 years ago. Just over 3 years ago now, because we would have met in June, right? So I took this internship, having never been to Italy, and I had planned this cool backpacking trip before I got there. And when I finally arrived to Italy, I had the pleasure of spending my summer and every day getting to hang out with Amma and our students walking around Tuscany and getting to know Italian culture and food and honestly make friends with people that I'm still friends with today.
It was awesome.
It was cool.
It was a great experience.
Yeah, I would definitely do it again. I highly recommend for any student that's wanting to study abroad or anyone that wants to be a part of an intern program. It does just as well to be a part of one of these programs and lead too. Get a little experience.
I would
as a
do
leader.
It again too. With you though. Only.
That's my only. I think you could do it alone, but I think you should do it with me. Yes.
Because I wanted to ask you a couple of questions that I found on the internet that I found very interesting, and I thought you, out of all the people I know, could answer them way you can answer them.
No
they
pressure.
They are about like dating and relationships and you, like yourself. Yeah. Are you ready? Like, are you in? For this?
I'm in for this. I'm super in. And before we get started, I do just have to say, I didn't tell you this when you'd asked if I would join because I didn't want to embarrass myself, but I'll do it in front of your audience. This is my first time being invited to do a podcast, and it's secretly been one of my dreams in life. This is no joke. But I'm talking bucket list. I got invited to someone else's podcast to just come and connect and talk. So thank you so much for everything, but also for this invitation. I'm happy to be here.
Name three qualities you have to bring to a relationship. Only three. Come on.
Yes. Only three that not necessarily that I bring, but that I expect for someone else to bring.
No, that you bring.
Oh, that I
bring.
You bring
this good thing. Yes.
I bring a sense of adventure. With me, it's always fun and there's always something unexpected happening and I'm always down to make something up if nothing is going on in life, a sense of adventure.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
I think I bring a sense of maturity for my age and kind of what I want out of my life. I'm a little bit stable. I've worked really hard to get to where I am. And so I think with any relationship that, it takes a little bit of give and take on both parties, but I think I bring a sense of stability and comfortability for just having my life together to some extent. Don't get me wrong. It is all over the place, but it's all over the place consistently and cleanly. And that's a thing. And I would say lastly, to not even just my romantic relationships, but any relationship I have, I bring a sense of open-mindedness and just I'm willing to look at things from multiple sides of the dice, play devil's advocate, be your biggest supporter, understand that sometimes you can be biased back and forth.
What is the worst thing a past date or an ex could say about you?
I would say the worst thing that an ex could say about me is that I was not emotionally available because I'm not always. And not all of the people are exes or super exes or super, committed relationships, but there are those out there that the truth is I just wasn't really there emotionally and I didn't fake that.
Yeah, I feel like you're just not emotional at all. Like, it's hard for you to show how you're feeling. Like, even in, I don't know, when you're eating something and it's, really good, you could be, really enjoying it and you're just like, yeah, it's good. We were in Tuscany and we were seeing, all these beautiful sights and you were like, yeah, it's cool. And I'm like, bruh.
And the funny part is they're all life-changing moments. I'm just not an expressive person. And, and I'm not really an emotional person. I'm much more of a logical processor, whether that's a good or bad thing. But especially in relationships, It takes a while for me to choose to open up. Not a while for me to commit to being here, because over that time I'll build the like stamina and trust to be a little more emotional. But to say that I'm not emotionally available is probably, I don't know if it's the worst thing you could say about a person, but it's one of the worst things that any of my previous partners would say about me.
What was the most fun date you ever had? And please don't say like apple picking or flower picking, or what was the thing you thought was romantic? apple picking or flower picking?
It wasn't. It wasn't. Well, we did pick some flowers at some point, but it wasn't like that wasn't the specific thing we did. I should start off by saying I don't go on a lot of dates. Or I don't know that I'm going on a lot of dates. I find out in hindsight that these were dates.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it, but
it's not as hard as you might imagine.
Promise. For you.
I guess. I'd say the most fun date I had, I met a girl in a hostel when I was in Sri Lanka. And she convinced me at like 10 p.m. to wake up at 4 a.m. and go see the sunrise on top of a mountain. And so we did that, and she rode on my scooter. We went to go watch the sunrise. And when I was supposed to go do something else, she just asked if she could join. And so we ended up riding on my scooter around for basically the next day and a half, going to caves and temples, getting food, and really just like bonding and making jokes on the scooter. We were lost for 4 hours at one point in the middle of a field when we did pick flowers. And it was cool because even though we didn't really know each other and we were supposed to be with other people, we were very much enjoying each other's company and really vetting each other out on many levels. And it ended up being the start of a not long-lived relationship, but it was worth it. It was good. It was good for learning. It was hopefully good for her as well. And it was a really cool origin story date, day and a half sort of thing.
Yeah. So wait, can you explain a little bit what you do for a living? So yeah. Like, why are you able to be in like all these places and meet all these people?
Well, why am I able to do it? First, I'll start backwards instead of what I do. Why am I able to do it? It's because I have intentionally built my life the way that I would feel comfortable living it, not by anyone else's terms, and I choose adventure always. So that's like how I'm able to do it, right? Why they're able to do it. The how is from I work for a small tech company based out of Dallas, Texas, and everyone in the U.S. office works remotely, right? We do have an office, and there are a couple people that come into the office most of the time, but for the most part of the 15 of us, everyone works remotely. And I knew that I was going to be working with clients from around the world and already working in anywhere between 7 to 11 time zones. So I just chose to join them in these different time zones. It's not all, you know, tourism and all that kind of stuff. I call myself a bad tourist, a bad local. Because I tend to go places for a couple months at a time, and I tend to avoid the tourism stuff most of the time. But I work for a tech company working around the clock, and whenever I'm not working, I'm out meeting people, living life, and seeking adventure.
The life you live, my friend. We're all jealous over here.
No. I have many things to be jealous of. From so many lives that I've met along the way. So, you know, nothing even really about jealousy, just things to aspire to.
Three qualities must your partner have?
What three qualities must my partner have? That is a good question. Okay, so I would say first and foremost, you also have to be open-minded. I don't need for someone to match me in the way I think, but I need for someone to be able to step outside of their own head. So that's super important. Secondly, I like someone who has a different upbringing and cultural identity than I do. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with mine, but I think there's so much advantage to learning about another person and their culture and kind of this combination. So I'm kind of working towards that. That's something I genuinely look. And the third one, I like a woman with balance. You know, if you like to party and have fun and go hard, like, that's awesome. I just also need you to be capable of, like, working really hard towards your goals and, like, being able to focus when it's important and take things serious when it's important, but also laugh really hard and be super sarcastic, but kind of live with balance in life.
Nice. And she has to live in a different country.
She doesn't have to. It's just kind of been how it's worked out.
Would you say that there is a thing that, like, all your exes have in common? Like, do you have a type?
I think I don't have a type so much as I've spent time around a lot of a similar type. I know that the women that I find myself interacting with and that I'm interested in, whether or not I actually date them, I realize there's a lot of variance. But the women that I end up spending a little bit more of the intimate time with, those tend to have similar characteristics. But it's most of my life it's been because I grew up in Indiana and there's a kind of person here as well. But me personally, I don't really see myself as having a type. I'm open to a lot of things and curious about a lot of things. So I'm hoping I meet someone that's willing to teach me.
Okay. Would you say that you are more dominant or submissive?
That is a great question. I'm pretty dominant.
Yes, you are. I don't know. That's not a hard question, Drew. Like, you are. Like, what are you even thinking about the answer? We were in a kind of marriage for, like, what, 2 weeks? We were, like, this taking care of children.
Yep.
And you were definitely, like, the dominant there.
This is true. And for many parts of my life, I would say I am dominant. I would say it's just not quite as much as I want to be when I'm in something for real. Like, I can become quite submissive to become accommodating. But as, like, me as a person or as a flirt or whatever, like, I'm usually in the driver's seat. But I don't want to make it feel like I'm in the driver's seat. I like to be with someone that, like, also likes to drive, and there's a little bit of back and forth.
Debatable. Okay, next question. So, what is a relationship deal breaker for you?
I'd probably go with just excessively poor communication. I'm open to a lot of things. I can try a lot of things. I can get over and forgive a lot of things. But if you just are a poor communicator and will continue to be a poor communicator to the detriment, that's a deal breaker for me.
True.
It's a no for me, dog. It's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. That's why you and me, we will never work, because I suck at communication.
Yeah, you are a poor communicator. But you do open to me. You do speak to me. You do reach out to me. I don't know how you are with other people, but with me, you've grown in our confidence in each other, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. No, I feel like I can be very open with my friends, but when I'm in a relationship, I don't know why. Maybe I just feel like I need to be like somebody else, or like I need to play it cool, or I don't know, but I'm like, you know, like, if something is bothering me, I might not tell you. Well, I don't know. It's been a long time. It's been a while. It's been a minute. But what's the best compliment or the best thing that someone's ever done for you in a relationship?
Excellent question. I think it's not that I can point it to being like one thing that someone has done for me, but it's more how they conduct themselves, right? I think anytime you're willing to make legitimate sacrifices for things that you want, not necessarily have to need, but things that you want and that you recognize and that your partner recognizes, that I recognize, like, it's not something you're super interested in, but you're willing to make a sacrifice for that person, for me in particular. those things, the small things where like, I really don't want to go to the bar and watch you watch soccer for several hours and drink beer. But like just choosing to be there and knowing that you could do anything else, but you want to spend the time with me and like, you know, I'll make it up to you and we'll do something else. Like those are the things that I personally appreciate, and they make a difference for me. Just being there, being like outside of your comfort zone. I mean, I'll push your comfort zone or I'll just leave you alone. It's not a big deal. But when you can, you know, sacrifice a little bit of what you want so that what we want is greater, you know, to me, that's just super important.
Yes. So what's the most hurtful criticism you've ever received in a relationship?
Woo.
Just one. Like
just one. Yeah, just one. I got this. Just one. I got this. You know, to be honest, I actually don't have a lot of messy breakups.
Wow. Must be nice.
Can't
relate.
I really don't. But I think the thing that probably like bit the most was that they just told me that like I wasn't worth their time and energy and I should stop wasting it. And it's, you know, for any human being, like especially when I know what kind of connection we've had, it's just like, why you gotta be an a-hole about it? Like, let me be the a-hole about it, you know? Like, why you gotta be an a-hole about it? So kind of just when someone hit me with you know, just wasn't worth my time and energy, like it's just that you're not worth it. But in general, I don't really have a lot of those. Like, I don't really have a lot of like super messy situations. And you know how I like to conduct myself when things are kind of over, so it helps, but
I respect that. So what are you not willing to change for a relationship?
That is a great question.
That is a great question.
Yeah. I just got done talking about sacrifices, so
What do you sacrifice?
I'm right on the spot, in the hot seat. I'd probably say that the truth is it's children, right? I don't want to be a parent in my core as who I am.
One of the questions is actually, how do you feel about having kids? So you might as well just answer that because you have like a very strong opinion about it. And I think
do.
It's very,
I personally, this is kind of mixing the two. I've had an opportunity or there's been a time where like I've considered with the person I was dating, like not having children could be a deal breaker. And like, is it a big deal? And it is a huge deal. Because like, as much as I imagine that I would be a decent parent and that we would be good parents together, I don't want to have to choose this alternative version of life, you know? And I don't think children are bad, and I don't think that everyone should stop having children. I just don't think in the world that we live in, the kind of person I want to be and the kind of person, kind of life I want to build, that children is like the next or a logical step for me. They're expensive, they're hard, they're time consuming, they're emotionally draining. They are special and amazing, beautiful creatures. They also suck. And I would just choose to have a life where I can live a fulfilled, accomplished, happy life and not be a father or directly a father. You know, I could be a father figure to someone by virtue of just being there for them, but to bear the responsibility of bearing a child is not one I would choose.
So will you date or marry someone that already has kids?
I'm not going to be a great stepdad. I'm going to just be honest. Like, I'll smoke a ton of pot and I'll just be a bad influence, you know? So,
I don't think so. I think you would be a great dad. You would be like the tough one. Like, you know, like what's the bad cop?
I'm not even always bad cop. That's the funny part. I just had to be bad cop when we were parents for 2 weeks.
Oh, but you were supposed to be a bad cop when we were having children, but you were not really. I don't believe you.
No, I'm not really doing the ladies with children thing. nothing against them, but just not really, not my vibe. I did consider it once because I was kind of seeing this girl who her daughter was 13. She had her quite young. And so it was kind of one of those situations where like, you're pretty much like a functioning human being. So, you know, maybe, and that situation itself was kind of unique. But in general, I'm not really doing the ladies with the tiny people.
Yeah. And I feel like those questions, like you should ask to your partner, like right away before things get too serious, because I mean, right. Like, ugh, it'd be tough.
That's first date material for me. Like, I'm pretty upfront.
Really? First date, when you're first flower picking with your girl, you're going to be like, by the way.
I don't want children.
I don't want children.
I don't see a point in it, and I can't be a stepfather. And it's funny because I always get these, like, really, like, strange looks from my friends when I tell them about it. But the actual girls themselves, you know, it's a natural part of our conversation. And like, as much as that doesn't sound like a natural first date conversation, you know, it becomes one because it's very important for me to just be upfront. Like, especially most of the time, I'm not really trying to, you know, go on dates because I don't really know their dates. But like, once I realize their dates, like it's already out there. So like, you know, she knows now and there's no questions.
I love that. So, do you believe in monogamy?
I do. I think it's entirely possible, and I think it's a beautiful thing, as long as that's what everyone wants. Yeah.
I believe in it. I just don't believe it's for everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's for me, but I believe in it.
I also don't believe it has to be like, once you're monogamous all the time, full time, forever. Like, I feel like you should be allowed with your partner, as long as it's something that you're both comfortable with, to transition back and forth, right? And as you know, that's something where my most recent situationship that ended, that's kind of where we got stuck in. It's not that it has to be this or that, but we have to be in constant communication and on the same page in order to feel comfortable transitioning in between this stuff together. So I do believe in monogamy. I think it's possible. I believe in polygamy. I think it's possible, but you have to be on the same page with that other person or people.
Right. So do you believe that you're ready for a relationship? And if you are, what makes you believe that you're ready?
Another solid, solid question. I do believe I'm ready for a relationship. For many years, and this is what makes me believe so, for many years, I did not do the relationship thing. I'm talking first dates in the text messages, like 7 text messages in, like, I think you're cute. This is what I would like out of this thing, but I don't want to be your man. And I'm very upfront and I check in with people about like, hey, are we still on the same page? I did that for many years.
You have never ghosted anyone.
I only ghost girls after something happened. Yeah.
So you have.
Only afterwards, though. Like, I only ghost you after, like, things didn't work out. And, like, I just don't really want to put the energy to, like, half-ass a friendship sort of thing.
You're talking, and then you just suddenly decide, like, it's not for you. And then you just stop talking to
her. Oh, no. I'll just tell you, like, I'm just not really super interested anymore. That's, like, it's not that
really
hard. Oh, for sure.
Wait.
For sure.
I know you would, but I find it so interesting. Like, you would literally just type and be like, hey, like, I'm not that into you. I thought I was, but okay, sorry. Have a good life.
Yeah, Rahul, I'm so glad you say the have a good life, because I totally say that and you know that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. There are people out there where it's like, you know, we hit a wall, or like either I just wasn't feeling it anymore, or like there was an action that happened that like, whether I say it to your face or I text it to you around FaceTime, like, you know what? I'm just going to be honest. Like, this isn't really vibing for me. Nothing against you. It's just like, now where my interests are. So, you know, have a nice life.
Yeah, I respect that. I respect that.
Yeah, I think it's important to be honest. It's important to be honest. And that's where it's a little bit challenging, because the lifestyle I live, I'm meeting a lot of people, and I'm trying to kind of work this balance between like being a mid-20s adult male that's like, you know, interested in women and like interested in like living that part of my life, but also being respectable towards my partners and just like people. And, you know, but also I'm not here to play games. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. And like, I kind of need to be upfront about, you know, how I want to use that time or how I don't want to use it. And it's a little bit of a dance in between all of it.
Okay.
And so, you, like, what do you, when you're done, like, how are you getting out of things? Like, when you're kind of just over it, it's not going to work out for you. Like, how are you wrapping that up?
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit that I have ghosted some people in the sense that I'm talking to them. I think it can go somewhere, but then I realize it will never go anywhere. And instead of being like the good person like you and the honest person and the bigger person and text them like, hey, like, this is not going to work out, but you're cool. Have a nice life. I just literally just like disappear. But, but I don't think I'm going to be doing that anymore because the last time I was the one that got ghosted.
It
wasn't cool. It wasn't fun. I think I'd rather the guy being honest and telling me like, hey, like, you know, like I'm not that into you or whatever, you know, than just him disappearing. So I learned the lesson.
Good.
But I've done it. Yeah. I'm growing up, Drew.
A little on me though.
Finally. Okay. So what turns you on? All right.
I like eyes.
Eyes.
I like women with shape. I don't really go for like the super scrawny girl. I don't really go for the BBWs, but I like a woman that like has a body, like a good body to her, good curves and shape. Looks like you've eaten a meal recently. Mm-hmm. And then I like a good, genuine laugh. That shit will set me off. Like a good, happy looking smile and laugh. Just like, that's hot. Super hot.
Wait, you forgot something.
Which one was it?
Well, I don't know if it turned you on or you just like looking at them, but
the calves?
Yeah. That was the weird thing anyone's ever told to me. And I remember that we were in Florence and we were walking a lot and I was like wearing shorts and when you were walking behind me, I was like, is he staring at my calves? Like I've never stopped thinking about my calves. Like, that's so weird.
All right. So I'm going to explain that for anyone that is so confused while we're talking about calves, right? I happen to believe, and I've yet to be proved wrong, that you could tell the projection of a woman's body, you know, how much she'll, like, where the LBs will come on and how much she'll look like her mom and, like, what you got going on in the next couple years by looking at their calves, right? I happen to believe that strongly, that calves will tell you what this woman's going to look like. And I've been putting that theory out there all over the world. Many people, it's so funny you mention that. People will hit me up randomly and be like, man, that calves thing is true. Like, I know.
Oh my God. Oh, I'll never forget that.
It's one of the things I look for, but it's not like my biggest turn on. Calves might tell me how temporary this is going to be, but you know. Yeah.
Okay. So what was your most embarrassing relationship moment? Like on a date or, I don't know, you were trying to flirt and it didn't work out?
Oh man, I've got tons of times I've tried
to flirt. You do? I feel like you don't have so many. Like you're good. Wow.
I'm always taken back by how women perceive my game because, like, it's so bad. Like, it's so bad. Like, I have so many embarrassing stories and so much poor luck. But it's always funny hearing a woman's perspective on my game. I'd say – so I was in Bulgaria And I went to a museum and I physically accidentally bumped into this very, very pretty lady. Like, oh, my bad. Like, sorry. And then I kept seeing her around the museum and, just casual joke. And I was like, look, I don't even know you like that, but do you want to go get a drink? She's like, of course. You seem like a nice guy. So we go, and we're like two drinks in. And as we're sitting like at a high top table, she's like, I had made some joke and she just asked me, she looked at me weird. She's like, wait, how old are you? Like, oh, I'm 25. She's like, oh, and our server just happened to be walking by and she like sticks her hands out and asks for the check. I was like, oh, that okay, sorry. She's like, yeah, no, you're actually very cute, you're very sweet, you're super nice, you're just too young. And then like within the next 5 minutes, she's gone. Just absolutely disappears. Never saw her again.
How old do you think she was?
Probably like 34, 35, like probably a solid 10 years older than me. But she was really
Damn.
pretty. Like, I mean, like, I wouldn't say if you just look at her, you know that like she's in her mid-30s, but like, yeah, we were sitting and talking and getting to know her and just like, I'm just gonna go that she's in her mid-30s. Which isn't
Damn.
that bad. I mean, for like drinks. Like, I don't know where she thought drinks was going. Maybe that's why she had to leave, but I didn't think anything out of it.
That's another thing about you. I feel like you go and get a drink and you suddenly just made like a conversation with someone about like some deep shit. Like, I don't know how you do that. But it
Well,
happens
having
all
a
the time.
wide range of interests makes conversation super easy. I've done a lot of
Clearly.
random stuff and I'm super open to a lot of stuff. And I think I also spend a lot of time alone, which is what people kind of overlook. As much as I'm traveling and I am meeting people constantly, I do work all the time and I do spend a lot of time like with no plans. I just show up to a sports bar hoping to catch a game and then see where life takes me. I just take myself to go get food, see where life takes me. Go to a museum, see where life takes me. I happen to be capable of making conversation with strangers, and they usually respond well.
Yeah, they do. Like all the time. Okay.
No.
So, what lessons have you learned from past relationships?
I am, when I'm in, I'm 100% in,
Yeah.
and that can be very intimidating. And so I kind of have to learn how to meet people at where they are rather than wait for them to get to where I am. Does that make sense?
Kinda. Like
Yeah.
I don't know, you were saying the other day when I was talking to you that you were like too, what was the word? Too stable.
I am too stable. I am
Like
way too
that's not a
stable.
thing, but okay.
It's such a thing. It's such, women in my age range, which is why when I'm not in the United States, I actually don't meet that many women in my age range. But women in my age range really need, I don't want to call them projects, but they need these dudes that, like, we don't really know what you're going to become. Like, are you going to be capable of paying your rent and getting your shit together and like, being a reliable partner and X, Y, and Z? And like, are you ever going to like give me the love and attention and like everything that I need? Well, from my perspective, like, I'm down with all of that. I have a stable job. I'm well educated. I figured out a lot of parts of my life and I'm willing to make probably a significant amount more of sacrifices with my life than a lot of other guys are willing to do. And I have the kind of lifestyle and financial backing and cultural open-mindedness to do a lot of things that you might expect from someone that's a little bit older. And I think just by the women that I'm around and meeting and I think I'm just way too stable, way too much of like a catch. And I have known that's always been the case because I've always been the person where years, months, years later, women that have popped up in the past have come back and been like, this was a terrible idea. I'm so sorry. Please take me away. And I'm just like, I can't do that. You missed your, yeah, you missed your shot. Like I've been the same stable dude since, you know, since Nam, and I can't really go back on, you know, missed opportunities like that. So.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's so interesting. I mean, you have a point, clearly. I should introduce you to my friends. You should come here. No,
I told you I was going to come to Mexico. I told you we were going to live together. I was going to get the apartment for you. We were going to be keto together. Like,
whoa,
we
had a whole plan. Well, now I have an apartment, so you can just come whenever. But I was saying that because I was talking to my friends the other day, and we were saying that we want a guy. Well, I don't want a guy right now, but they want a guy like just like you, like established and that knows who he is and knows what he wants, like trying to fix a guy or like, you know, to help him figure out who he is. We think that's like boring. Like, we don't want that anymore.
It's quite taxing to take on a project as a partner.
Yeah.
It's really, especially when you have figured out not even everything about yourself, but you're just kind of in a place where a lot of the foundation has been built so that you can just kind of embellish and build upon that foundation. And it's really challenging to meet potential significant others, meet women, meet guys, whatever you're into, that are just projects. Like, they just need that extra handholding to get to, you know, step one with their life. And I'm just not there. And I think that's it's one of those things where it's become a kind of a problem and a learning opportunity for me to not really be all of this at one time with someone, you know, really just allow them to kind of figure out if what I can offer is appropriate. And then, you know, whenever you're ready, step up to the plate and we can go to the moon.
Right. So what do you consider cheating?
If you feel guilty for your actions because you know that they would drastically change a presumed relationship, you're cheating. You know? If you and your partner don't talk about it, but there's an unspoken, not, it shouldn't be unspoken, but there's an unspoken, like, do your life and like, we're good. And even if like I find out, we're good. Like, and you don't have to feel so like in your core guilty about what you did. It's a little less on the cheating scale to me. But for those people where there is an immense amount of genuine guilt for your actions, because you know what you have done is wrong. Even if it wasn't that wrong, it was wrong and it would change the outlook of your committed relationship. That shit cheating.
So I know the answer for this one actually, but you have to say it anyway. Would you get back together with any of your exes?
I'll let you set me up like, for this, and you're going to send this out to all of my exes.
No. But think about all of your exes, like all of them. There must be at least one that, you know, that it wasn't her, it wasn't you, it was a circumstance. And if the circumstances changed, then you would, you know, get back together with her.
I happen to believe that right girl, wrong time is still wrong girl, personally.
Damn.
I happen to believe that genuinely. For that reason, I'm at like 98% no, I would not get back with my exes. It's not how I like to get down. I know I'm never the same person, and I shouldn't be. You're never the same person. You shouldn't be. I won't ever really feel as secure because I know that this is already broken down for probably avoidable reasons. And this shit happens. It'd be like that. I've learned my lesson with trying to date someone after we've already dated. So I'm at like 98% I wouldn't. But, you know, that 2%, I don't know if it's never say never or if it's just that I'm trying to grow up and kind of look at situations a little differently. But for the most part, I wouldn't choose to date someone again. Well, yeah, it's hard for me to imagine that, like, going back or a situation in which I would choose to go back that I'm so compelled because there was something really left. You know, I don't have a lot of messy breakups. It's a lot of intellectual stuff. Like, let's be honest, let's really talk through this and then go the ways that make a difference. The ways that are best for both of us. So,
okay. So 1 to 10, how important is sex in a relationship?
I'm going to go with like somewhere in the like 6, 6.5, 7s.
Wow, that's a good number.
Yeah, I was going to go a little bit lower, but yeah.
But let's be real.
Let's be real. Yeah, I was going to go a little bit lower, but let's be real. But it's not like sex every day, like porn sex, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Having just like for fun, pounding it out, like that's all. Having like for fun, just pounding it out, like that sort of thing, like that's all well and good and it's all important and it has its own place. But like when I'm talking about sex, I'm talking about like a genuine, heartfelt, emotional connection with your partner. And like to be able to connect on that level of intimacy, I think is super important.
So, this one is cute. This one is a cute question, unless it wasn't. So when was your first kiss?
My first kiss, I was 15.
Aww.
Her name was Amanda, and she was my girlfriend at that time.
Did you kiss her? That. Or she kissed you? You are a good kisser. Has someone ever told you? Do you have references?
I do have references, and I've been told that I'm a good kisser, but I don't imagine myself to be a good kisser. I imagine myself to be, like, above average, not necessarily good, but I've been told I'm a good kisser. But
trying to understand if you have always been this, like, what's the word? Emotional, like, intelligent? Like, you've never, like, broke up with someone and, I don't know, call her and, like, be like, I'm sorry, can we get back together? Like, you've never done something crazy?
Even when I call and I, like, want to – well, first of all, you heard, like, when I break up and it's, like, it's over, right? So – but even when they're, like, we're in kind of a bit of, a, like, a tuffle and there's back and forth, like, when I call, I'm pretty composed. And I might lose my cool and go up and down a little bit depending on how the conversation's going, but I'm like super calculated. I'm very chill and like well thought out and like I'm in my own head a lot and I always see their perspective. Like it's not like and so that kind of like I'm always listening and I can understand how you got there and like I'm changing and adapting and learning. And so I'm never really just like in this like deep emotional state of like I need you and I need this and I need all of these things. I'm not even sure I could do that, you know. Even if I never want to say the words I'm wrong, like I'm very willing to be wrong and I'm super willing to like allow you to show me how you got there and how I got there or like what's going on. But I definitely don't call and be like, take me back. Nah, bro. Nah, B, like, hey, bro, have a nice fucking life. And actually, to be honest, like, these are life lessons I've learned. I've been completely demoralized and crushed by women. I used to be I'm still a professional friend zoner, but, like, I used to just get destroyed by what I wanted from a partner and wanted from a specific person, and they couldn't reciprocate that. And it used to kill me. But again, as I've learned and I've grown up, and like I told you, I got references, man. There are plenty of women that have realized the error in their ways, or they were really looking for that like dumb project guy, found it, and then thought, what the hell was I doing? Like, there's dudes out there like Drew that just are on a different wavelength. So I've always been different. I wouldn't say I've always been an adult, but I've always been different. And I can attribute that to my upbringing. I think I'm the boyfriend that people wait to like, he'll come back. He'll call me. He'll like a picture of my Instagram. He will. Damn it. Where is this man?
Why is he not watching my stories? That's the other thing though. You are not even like on social media.
Yeah, I'm really not.
Damn.
It really helps separate me from them too. Because like there's none of this like passive aggressive, like I'm checking in your life. Like, no, seriously. When it's over, it's like really over. Like, don't come looking for me. Don't be concerned about my stories. Like, I'm not the kind of petty person that'll call you out if you are texting me. I just might not respond. Or like if you are liking my photos, like I just probably won't go to your page and like them. Like, it's no big deal. I am that person.
Like, you don't even post like stuff. So as an ex-girlfriend, I would be very annoyed with you because I cannot see what you're doing.
So I hear. But you know what? I do have a shameless plug. I'm not posting a lot right now, but I am working on two little projects where I can really get my voice and my story, my experience out there to the world. So
you know,
being invited to be here is the first step, and I'm super happy to do that. But you know, for anyone that finds this to be an entertaining podcast, there's some stuff out there for you. My life is so normal to me. It's only when I speak to other people that I realize it's abnormal. So thank you for that, because I think I could make good content. I just have to get over the hurdle of like being a content creator, because that just seems like a little less authentic than why I ever started traveling and how I've been living my life. But I'm realizing, as a black dude who has seen the world in the way I have and has worked with the kinds of students and kinds of people I have, that, you know, I should take a bit more of a responsibility to showcase alternative ways of life to not only people of color, but just curious people that just need a little bit of different in their life.
Yeah, no, I agree. I get the same thing a lot. Like, my friends are like, Alma, you realize that like your life is not normal. And I'm like, no, it is. Like, it is
normal. That's pretty normal. It's normal.
It's pretty normal. But I've had some experiences that not everyone is able to have.
Right.
And I didn't like overshare them either, because I thought like, oh, like, it's whatever, you know, like
it's life. Yeah.
Another day in my life.
You know why I called you, because I'm so inspired by your courage to move abroad right after high school to like do your education and continue to move and live on your own. And I wanted my cousins to really hear that story from you and get to engage with you and learn from you and kind of hear what that experience was like from you. I think you have such a cool story to share. And I was so excited when you started doing this podcast, when you were working on some of these other projects, because I think you have a voice to be shared. And I'm happy to see you do that.
Like, I deleted my Instagram a few months ago, and I'm fine. I'm living. I'm okay.
I also was on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and MySpace and Tumblr. And like, I had the list of all the funds, right? But I realized what it was doing to me as a person, and it was just pulling me out of so many moments that I just didn't want to be pulled out of. And it also made me put like value in the wrong shit, you know, just like the things that were truly important to me and like what I really wanted to gain and feel a sense of satisfaction from wasn't how many double taps I got on a picture, you know. It was like really how I changed a life and like what that moment and that night meant to another person. So I took it upon myself to just like stop that, you know, like stop using these platforms that like just make me uncomfortable about myself and my goals and like where I get satisfaction from my relationships. So how do I feel about it now? It doesn't really bother me, and I don't notice it. It's only when I hang out with my friends that are, you know, I wouldn't even call them avid users. It's only when I hang out with like normal users of social media when they're like, "How have you not heard about this thing?" Or "Why are you not watching this show?" I don't know. It didn't interest me. I just didn't hear about it. Like, and you know, my capacity to care about too many things and just be overflowed with information is just so low. You know, and I don't like being flooded with that. And something that I realized because I was on Instagram for a little while I was dating, and I realized, like, just how do I say this? See? I realized from work, I like use my brain a lot. Like, I'm writing lines of code, I'm having customer care calls, I'm having to like solve abstract problems, like I'm trying to communicate with someone who English is like their third language, and like they're just, it's not working out that well. I use my brain a lot at work all day, and so being like on these platforms and just adding more information to my like processing is just not a thing. So
yeah, not ideal.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal.
The relationships that I have with the people that are not on social media are way more deep and just real.
And you know, because you've gotten these calls, right? I love to drunk call people. whether it's a drunk call or I just got done playing sports and I've got like a 30-minute walk, I'll just pick a letter in my phone and call someone. And, you know, it's really funny how people respond to that sort of like direct communication these days, as opposed to like, why didn't you just like send me a DM or like at me or something. But it's like, I'm calling your cell phone as it was intended to be used for, and just like asking you about your life. And it's really allowed me to when I catch up with people, whether it's a 5-minute conversation or a 5-hour conversation, like genuinely connect with someone. Like, I don't know what's happening in your life, and I know you don't know what's happening in my life. So, you know, what's up? Like, can we talk? Do you have a minute? And that's kind of my biggest drawback about trying to plan some of this content and become a content creator, right? Is I don't want to lose this part of myself in getting mixed up with this world of sharing content. But again, I think part of it is just like sticking to whatever the values are that are, I base this around, and like, you know, making sure I don't veer off some track because I got 100 subscribers. You know, how's adulting in your own place in Mexico City? How are you feeling about? I'm sure your listeners know this is a pretty new move for you, but how are you feeling about being home in a new home and starting?
Well, okay. So when I first moved here, like a month ago, I moved with my cousins. And the first night, they were not in the apartment. They were somewhere else. And I was alone in the apartment. And I just got like this anxiety attack. I don't know why, that I was all by myself in Mexico City, which is, and I was like, why? You know, because I moved out of my house when I was 18 to like a different continent. Mm-hmm. And I never for one second was afraid or sad or homesick or why not. And now that I am like a grown up, kind of.
Working on it.
I'm like, damn, why do I feel this way? Like, I felt like I fucked up, like I was not in the right place, like something bad was going to happen. Like, I don't know. I freaked out that first night, not going to lie.
Yeah.
But now I'm great. Now I feel great. I feel like now that I have my own place, like my apartment that is very small, but it's mine, and that I have my own space, I couldn't be happier. Like, I feel like this was the right thing to do. Like I should not be anywhere else, you know? Yeah. But it's great.
But I hope it was fun. I hope you enjoyed. I'm so honored to have been invited to come chat with you. You know, you can always call me, podcast or not, but you know, like I said, it's been one of my bucket lists to be invited to be on a podcast and to just shoot the shit with a good friend. So I'm super happy to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming here. Well, for being here. I think I'm just going to start recording all of our conversations from now on. I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll know it's being recorded because you'll send me a link. And so I'll know it's being recorded. But yeah, man, I'm happy to help when I can. And believe me, once I get some work, get these projects on the road, not only will I share the favor, I will definitely keep you in mind. You know, you're Alma, my new bestie forever. So
yeah, you know what we should do?
What's up?
We should do a podcast episode talking about like our time in Italy.
Like, be great.
You know, our Armenians would like that.
Yeah, I think they would love that. I think it would be a lot of fun to.
I'm emotional, but I don't cry a lot. I don't think I'm a crier. But when that whole experience ended, I cried, man. Like something, like I was dying. Like it was bad. It was bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, I mean, and it's good. Let it out. And there was such a crazy melting pot of our students and our friends and just like being around each other and our responsibility and the like. It was just such a, and being in Florence, you know, that environment and that energy and that history. So just kind of all of that pulled together. I mean, shit, if I could drop one, I would, bro. If I could drop a tear with you, I totally would. But yeah, we should totally do a podcast episode about the about our internship and our experience with the Minions. And then we got to get the Minions together. As many as that want to join, it would be awesome.
Yay. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Love you.
Love you too, my friend.
Bye.
Ciao.
So that was it. That was my interview with my good friend Drew. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. I'm sure you did. And if you did, let me know. Don't assume someone already did. You know where to find my socials and the show notes below. I love when you guys DM me and all of that. But if you could also leave a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, that would be great. Great. So yeah, thank you very much for listening all the way through. Love you guys, and I'll see you next time. Bye.